reading today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. And you can find that on page 1065 of your pew Bibles. 1065. John chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with you." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a society that need seems to get mixed up with our want, have you ever really thought about what you need? I mean, what you really need. And kids are incredible. Certainly they are in our house. They are a laugh whenever they come and say words like, "Mommy, Daddy, I want this. Mommy, Daddy, I want this." And after you reply that they're not going to get it, they go down a different route and say, "But Daddy, I need this." This little rabbit that they're holding on to with great fervor seems to be the thing that life depends upon. It is that need. And in our commercialized Western society, it is built on this issue of need or want. We want it. And whenever we don't want it, we stomp our feet, because we should be able to get it. I complain whenever I send off for stuff from Amazon and it hasn't arrived the next day. It is ridiculous. Our lines have become very blurred. But what do we really need? What do we need most? Is it the new job? Is it the new car? Is it a better family? What is it? There are many things, however, that we don't need, but there are some things that we need more than water or food, and that is that we really need Jesus. In fact, is that not what every person in our society needs? Not every person in our society wants Jesus, but every person in our society needs Jesus. We might know it, but do people outside know it? A lot of the time, the thing that people want more than anything else, actually, is that they want happiness and they want love. Nicodemus was successful, but I'm not quite sure whether he knew what he needed. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of a special group who never had more than 6,000 members, and each had devoted their life to following the Ten Commandments. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, which would have meant he was part of that small religious group of about 70 men who looked after the religious affairs of the Jewish nation. As verse 10 of our reading tells us, Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel. Nicodemus was literally at the top of his game. He was religious, moral, he was political, he was socially accepted. By all of the world's standards, he had success. He didn't need anything, and yet he was searching. And it's interesting, however, that Nicodemus showed up at night. Why was that? Well, there's two possibilities. So that he wouldn't be noticed as he went to see Jesus, or so that he could find time to be with Jesus on his own. I have always assumed that Nicodemus simply did not want his reputation to be ruined, and so he met him alone at night. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again, and it completely throws him off. This doesn't sound like anything that he had ever heard before. How on earth could a person who had already been born once go back into the womb and be born again? To be born of water means to be born of the physical birth, and to be born of the Spirit is the spiritual birth. And this, folks, is where many of our society can get completely lost. They spend their lives searching for things that are going to make their life more fulfilling, more secure, and more stress-free. And the idea of being born for a spiritual need is really not there. But Jesus here is saying that in order to have a full life, we've got to start all over again, be born anew, where our dependency or our need is entirely on God. People, including many within the church, are putting so much effort into what they need to do or gain more in order to gain more in return. But in a spiritual context, they have misunderstood the difference between religion and regeneration or rebirth. And that is where Nicodemus is completely stuck. He has spent his life focused on all of these rules that he has to follow. And now Jesus is telling him, it's not about that at all. You see, religion, which has been such a damaging thing, I think, across our country, says this. It says, I can achieve God's favor on my own. Rebirth or regeneration says, God's love is undeserved. It's an undeserved gift. Religion says, all of the good in my life is what matters. Regeneration says, Jesus' death is really what matters and his resurrection. Religion says, I must give up maybe a little bit of my life to give it to God. Regeneration or rebirth says, I'm giving up everything of my life, everything. Religion says, I have to try harder to gain God's approval. And regeneration says, it's not about that at all. It's simply about trusting in God and his love for us. Nicodemus asks the question, how can this be? And Jesus replies and says, you see, you're Israel's teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify of what we've seen, but still you people do not accept the testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you about heavenly things? And so Jesus is pointing out three things about Nicodemus' life. First of all, he doesn't understand. Secondly, he doesn't know how to receive. And then thirdly, he doesn't actually believe. And yet this encounter is not finished with. You see, we don't hear anything more about Nicodemus in this chapter. It's done. And yet something of that encounter with Jesus makes a real impact on Nicodemus's life. Well, how do we know this? Well, first, he's asking the questions about his life. And that's a good start. Whenever someone comes to me and says, I don't believe this God stuff, I don't get offended at that. What I would get offended at is if someone isn't interested in hearing anything at all, even a chance to listen to it. Nicodemus was asking the questions. He was inquisitive. And even though he didn't understand, he doesn't yet receive, and he doesn't believe, there's a seed that has been sown in his life. He realizes that this need actually is not about the religious practice, all the do's and the don'ts. His need has to be about Jesus. And you see, the next time that we come across Nicodemus is at the very end of John's Gospel. It's in chapter 19. We've just done chapter 3. He appears in John 19 again in a completely different context. It's actually at Jesus' death. Nicodemus would later come and take Jesus' dead body and prepare it for burial. Let me read what it says. Using a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds in weight, they took the body of Jesus, and they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So Nicodemus eventually got the point, and he actually was there at the time that really, really mattered, that time whenever he realized that this was what he really needed to know. The question as I just finish is this. Who in your life, in your context, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it is, needs to hear the story of Nicodemus? Who do you know that's searching, who's looking for something? What each person needs more than anything else is to know the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. They don't need the pointing of the finger to say, oh, you're damned for hell, or things like, you need to live a better life and all that. All they need to know is salvation from Jesus. And as Christians, the most important thing to us should be to lift his name so that others will be drawn to him. We cannot save them. That's not our job. That's Jesus' job. But we sure can point them to Jesus. Make that your objective in the week ahead. When people are looking for things, where they need things, where they want things, that they know more than anything else that the only thing they need is Jesus. And that, thankfully, is what Nicodemus realized.